Matthew chapter 9 this morning, we want to look at verse 27 down to verse number 30. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray right now and ask, O God, Lord, you've said to ask and it shall be given. Lord, right now I'll ask that your words would come forth through your Spirit to speak to us this morning, speak to our hearts in regard to our faith. Lord, strengthen our faith this morning. Teach us, Lord. Encourage us. And Lord, glorify yourself and accomplish your purpose in each one of us. Lord, you know the heart of each one here this morning. You know the needs of each heart. You know the circumstances of each heart. Lord, you're the one that searches the hearts, knoweth all things. And so, Lord, I pray, and Lord, I pray in faith, believing that you will bring forth your word by your Spirit to do the work that only you can do in each one of our hearts this morning for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Last week we looked at the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse number 4, where the Bible says very clearly and distinctly, "The just shall live by his faith." I'm going to be preaching until the Lord moves me in a different direction on faith, to strengthen our faith with my prayers that God would strengthen and grow our faith. Because the Bible says, "The just shall live by his faith." And the title of the message this morning is, "How important is your faith to you?" How important is your faith to you? Your faith is important to God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So your faith is important to God. Throughout the scripture, and even here, we see that God looks for faith, and God searches your heart for your faith, and God observes your faith, and God gives according to your faith. Here in chapter 9 and verse number 29, Jesus said this. He says, "According to your faith be it unto you." You know, throughout the scriptures and throughout the gospels, Jesus would speak to individuals and he would speak to them regarding their faith. Because I believe one of the things is, I believe the Lord wants us to really examine our faith and see where our faith is. And he would say many times and on different occasions, he would describe in words to individuals what their faith was like. There was one time where the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about people that they had no faith. They didn't have any faith. And what a terrible place that's to be. Amen? That they have no faith. I was talking with a man the other day, and he was telling me his story, it was a very just hard story to listen to. He was a man that had been very successful for all his life, and had a very successful career as a veterinarian. Then all of a sudden he got walking pneumonia. And he was in the hospital for 3 months. And as a result of that, the circumstances just took him out of the picture. And he lost everything. He lost his home. He lost his health. He lost everything. He Now he's living in a tent. Very successful man. Listen, just because you observe people on the street, be very careful not to judge. Instead, have compassion on them. But as I began to talk with him, it was obvious that not only were his circumstances dire, but he had no faith. Without faith, there's no hope. And Jesus spoke about people that don't have faith. But then he spoke about other people. People that followed him. People that believed on him. The disciples. And there were times where he said they had little faith. They had faith, but they had little faith. Now, I know the Bible says that you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, and it can do powerful things, and it's true. But they had little faith. And then he would speak about people that had great faith. He spoke about a centurion. He said, I've found no greater faith in all of Israel than this. But then in the book of Acts, in chapter 6 and chapter 11, he speaks of Stephen, and he speaks of Barnabas. Those two individuals that had a great impact on Paul's life. You know, we think of the Apostle Paul, and we look at the Apostle Paul. But you know, you stop and consider this. There was a man that had an impact on Paul's life before he got saved, and there was a man that had an impact on Paul's life after he got saved. Stephen had an impact on Paul's life leading to his salvation. Barnabas had a great impact on Paul's life more than any other disciple, any other apostle. I believe Barnabas had the greatest impact on Paul's life. Because when Paul got saved and when Paul wanted to go up to Jerusalem to meet with the disciples, they were afraid. They weren't going to even fellowship with Paul. And along comes Barnabas. And Barnabas says, oh, no, he's a brother. And they're thinking, hey, yeah, you sure about this, Barnabas? And Barnabas says, oh, I'm sure. And Barnabas brought him to the disciples and the apostles and welcomed into the fellowship. But here's what the Bible says about Stephen and Barnabas. One common thing it says about both of those individuals that had the greatest impact on the man that God would use to write the majority of the New Testament. It says they were full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. So the Bible says you can have no faith, you're without hope. The Bible says you can have faith and it can be small. The Bible says you have great faith, but my desire, my prayer is not just to have a small faith. Not just to have even a great faith. But our desire ought to be, Lord, I want to be full of faith. I want to be full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And here in this account this morning, we're going to look at faith, our faith. And I want us to just see three things as we look at it, with the purpose of helping us understand how we can build or increase or strengthen our faith. I don't want my faith to diminish over time. I don't want my faith to be weak. I want my faith in God, in Christ, in His Word, in His promises, in His power, in His presence. I want my faith to be full, to be strong, so that it pleases God. So that according to my faith, God says, so be it. And so this morning we're going to look and, you know, in the first thing, and we're really going to focus in verse number 28, the question that the Lord Jesus Christ asks of these men. Now these men had heard of the fame of Jesus Christ. The fame went, in verse 26, the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. So here's these two men, they're blind. Verse number 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this. First of all, these two men, as they come to Jesus Christ, understand this. They had faith that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. This is not what Jesus Christ was asking them about. They believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. When they said Son of David, have mercy on us. That was a testimony back from the Old Testament that he was the Messiah. To say that, to say, Son of David, have mercy on us, and then to say, Yea, Lord, clearly tells us that they understood the Old Testament scripture about the Messiah, the one that Israel had been waiting for, the hope of Israel. They understood. And they were acknowledging and testifying that they believed that this one, Jesus, was the Messiah. He was the Son of David. That's why they were saying, have mercy on us, because the Son of David, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah, Shiloh, when he comes, he would pour out mercy. He would be merciful, his tender mercy. In Luke chapter 1, the tender mercy from day spring on high has visited us. And so they understood and believed he was the Lord, he was the Messiah. But now Jesus Christ is going to take them further in just seeing about their faith. Now, Jesus Christ knew their faith. The Bible says in another passage of Scripture that Jesus Christ searches the heart. He knows what's in the heart of men. He, in another portion of Scripture, he says he knew their faith. Jesus Christ this morning knows the status of your faith in regard to your life. So it's not Jesus checking it out for himself. But it's the Lord evaluating our faith for our benefit. Because the Lord wants our faith to increase. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And the stronger my faith is, the more I'll see victory in my life. And many other things. We're just going to, by God's grace, if I get to it, we're just going to look at this morning. But in that question, I want to break that question up into three points. Jesus, as they come to him, and by the way, you can see their faith because they come to him, verse number 27, when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him. That right there is faith. Crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. And then Jesus saith to them, he asked them this question, Believe ye that I am able to do this? All right, now we're going to break that down into three parts. We're just going to narrow that question and dissect that question into three things. The first one is where he says, Believe ye. Do you believe? Now that's not my point, by the way, if you're taking notes. My point is, how can I strengthen? Well, my point, hold on a second. All right? I'll lead you up to my point. The purpose of my first point is, how do I strengthen my faith? Your faith just doesn't strengthen itself on its own without due diligence by you. Just like exercise does not happen unless you do something. I remember one time, I can't remember all the circumstances, but we got a video. Or no, I didn't get a video. I would never do this. But they got one of these, Allison and Angela, and I don't know whether it's Crystal too, but they got a exercise video. And so Angela sits down with a video and an ice cream sandwich to watch the video about how to exercise. That doesn't work, does it? Right? You don't sit down with an ice cream sandwich and watch a video about exercise and then you get in shape. All right? You have to exercise. How do I build up my faith? How do I build up my faith? How do I strengthen my faith? Because it says, believe ye. Remember what Habakkuk says? The just shall live by his faith. My faith doesn't work for you. Your faith doesn't work for me. So how do I build up my faith? Point number one, all right, if you're taking points, point number one. Very simple, yet very important. Read the word of the Lord. You cannot build up your faith apart from the Bible. Because Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If your faith is weak, there's probably a correlation between the amount of time you spend in the word of God. Read the Bible. You see, they heard. They heard. They couldn't see, but they heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. The fame hereof went abroad into all that land. So read your Bible. Now, I want you to go back, because as I was thinking about faith this week, I said to myself, you better practice what you preach, and you better preach what you practice, buddy. So I said, all right, I'm going to start in Matthew, and I'm going to look from the book of Matthew. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 1, and I'm going to start reading through the New Testament through the magnifying glass of faith. Now, I didn't see the microscope, because I'm not picking apart the Bible. I said the magnifying glass, because I said, I'm going to start in Matthew, and I'm going to read every verse. And I thought I would get through the New Testament. I only got through the book of Matthew, which for me is unusual. But I said, I'm going to read. And I took a yellow pad, because that's the other thing. You can't study without a yellow pad. But I took a yellow pad, and I started Matthew chapter 1. And I looked, and I started reading with the magnifying glass of the Spirit, saying, Lord, you said your Holy Spirit would guide me into all truth. You said your Holy Spirit would teach me all things. So I'm going to read from Matthew, and I'm going to keep reading, and I want you to teach me what your word says about faith to increase my faith. And I tell you what, if you did that just in the book of Matthew, your faith would be strengthened, because God promises that through the word of God, your faith is strengthened. So go back with me, because I said read the word. So go back to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And here's how, as you read the word of God, your faith will be strengthened. Starting in Matthew chapter 1. Now you might say, boy, Matthew chapter 1, that's. I went to Zechariah chapter 1. All right. Matthew chapter 1. You might say, well, Matthew chapter 1, it's all about the generation of Jesus Christ. How is that going to strengthen my faith? It starts off the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And it goes down through, all through the generations of Jesus Christ. But you come down to verse number 22, all right? You've just read all the generations, the lineage of Jesus Christ. And then it says this. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. But right there, verse number 22, all this was done. All this was done. All those generations leading to the birth of Christ was done that what? That the word of the prophet, that the word of God that was brought forth of the prophets would be fulfilled. You know, when you read through the book of Matthew, 13 times it uses that word fulfilled, that the word of God, the word of the prophets is fulfilled. Other times it says, as it was written. But you know, when you just stop and think about that, and you just stop and think about how many prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ there were, I think over 320 or something, I don't remember the number, but every word of God spoken over all those years to Israel through those prophets, every exact, precise promise of God was fulfilled perfectly. You stop and think about that. You know what that does? Boy, that strengthens your faith that I can believe the word of God. Well, that leads to the next one. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. You say, why is that so important? Because in Matthew chapter 4, and here's where our faith needs to be strengthened, folks. Our faith needs to be strengthened in the word of the Lord. We say we believe it. We say we believe it. But believing it is supposed to translate down into our heart to affect our life. Because in Matthew chapter 4, as Jesus is tempted by the devil in the wilderness, in Matthew chapter 4, just look at verse number 4. Jesus answered and said, "It is written." Now, we just read how important and how true and how trustworthy the Word of God is. Because every word of God about Jesus Christ was fulfilled. And here it says it again, "It is written." That's back in Deuteronomy. "It is written." So you know what? I know this is true. If God fulfilled all those promises about Jesus Christ, I'm not going to question what God says. And that should lead us to the rest of the Word of God. Everything that God says. Because in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, it is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, the just shall live by his faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it says, man shall... In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you are to live by believing every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, what God says. And yet, Christians believe what the world says many times more than they believe what God says. That's why our faith is weak. Because we are listening to voices that are not from God. This is what God says. Just put it in perspective. You want a challenge? Count up the hours you listen to everybody else. Add them up. The hours in the day that you listen to someone else. And then mark down the hours that you listen to God and what He says. You want to strengthen your faith? There's only one way to strengthen your faith, and that is to get in the Word of God. Shut off the news. Listen, we all know there's a virus going on. You don't need to be told another time. We don't need to be told anymore. We know it. But I tell you what, it's time we started trusting God in the midst of life. In the midst of life. And living by faith. We know there's financial difficulty going on. We know the hardships. We know about the politics. Listen, trust God. Live by faith. You know, these men lived by faith. They came to the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard of Jesus Christ. And they lived by faith, and they came by faith. They came by faith. Look what it says. Not only did they follow him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us," but when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. Why did they come to him? I'll tell you why they came. Because they believed what they heard about him. And that faith led them to believe that he was the Messiah, the Lord, the King, the Shepherd, the Rock, Shiloh. They said, he's the one. He's the Son of David. He's the Son of David. He's the one that can have tender mercy on us. My friend, if I know that God is pouring out his mercy upon my life, boy, I tell you what, that brings comfort. You know, the Bible also says faith will bring joy to your soul. Faith will bring comfort to your soul. Faith will bring peace. We sang that first song about peace. But that song spoke about peace because we trust in the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. What is it? What does it say, the beginning of that verse? He will keep him, and thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And so, number one, you increase your faith by reading the Word of God. By reading the Word of God. And so the Lord says, believe ye. Do you believe? Do you believe? Because that leads to everything else. Do you believe? That's where it starts, faith. Believe. Starts with believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. But then the Lord said to them, not only believe ye, but believe that I am able. He knew they believed who he was. He heard their testimony. He heard their testimony. Son of David, have mercy on us. He knew they believed who he was. But now he's saying, do you believe that I'm able? Do you believe that God is able this morning? Now I know we say it. We say it. But God wants us not to say it with our lips. He wants us to say it with our heart. And he wants to see it in our life as a result of our heart. Believing that he is able. You say, all right, well, how do I strengthen my faith in the power of Jesus Christ? How do I strengthen my faith in the power of God? Well, number one, it all goes back to the first point. Read the Bible. But as you read the Bible, remember the work of the Lord. Number one is read the word of the Lord. Number two, remember the work of the Lord. And what I mean by that, as you read through the Bible, you want to strengthen your faith. You want to strengthen your faith in the truth that Jesus Christ is able, that God is able. Then, boy, start reading about what God does, what God has done. From Genesis 1, by the power of his word, he brought all things into existence. Think about that. By the power of the word of God, he spoke. And then you just go through the history of Israel. You go through the history of individuals. You go through the history of Israel. You go through the Gospels, and you start reading about the power of God. That Dios es poderoso, excuse me, that God is all powerful. He challenged Jeremiah on it. Jeremiah said, there's nothing too hard for thee, O God. And God said to Jeremiah, and God was searching the heart of Jeremiah and having Jeremiah see. He said, is there anything too hard for me? Then he said, call unto me, I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But it's when we really truly believe that God is able. That he is able, and he is able. You just start reading. I mean, you read before this passage of Scripture. The fame. Well, what was the fame? What he had done? He had just healed that daughter verse number 18 down through. He raised her up. And you go on in verse 31. There's a man possessed with a demon. He cast him out. You just start reading about what Jesus Christ is able to do. You know, I think about Peter. Peter, they're in that ship and they see Jesus walking on the water. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Jesus said, come. Peter, right that moment, believed that Jesus was able to make him able to walk on water. And he did. And so read the scripture, read about the power of God. Read the power of God. Because you know what? The more you read the power of God, you'll say, wow, he is able. There is nothing too hard for God. You know, as you're reading that, go back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Because as your faith is strengthened in regard to the power of God, the power of Christ. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7 says, ask. Ask. Jesus says, whatsoever you ask in faith, believing, ye shall receive. Ask and it shall be given unto you. You know, I just want to share a testimony in regard to this. It says, ask. Wednesday night, we gathered together for our business meeting. But we had prayer before that. I tell you what, if there was one service I would not miss, it's Wednesday night prayer meeting. I know you get the prayer requests on Thursday morning, but I would be here because there's something that God honors about a church gathering together in one accord to pray. I wouldn't miss a Wednesday night service even if I wasn't the pastor. I would make my schedule. I would clear my schedule. Listen, there is no business event that's more important than a Wednesday night prayer meeting service. Because on Wednesday night, we prayed. Pastor Donnie prayed on our behalf. And we prayed specifically. I said, please pray that God would show me where Don Robertson is. For 2 weeks, I had no clue where Don Robertson was. I had heard that he had fallen, something had happened, he'd been taken to the hospital. From that point on, I had no idea where this man was. Loved the man, wanted to be encouragement, wanted to help him, had no idea. Called the hospital, not there. Called several nursing homes, not there. So we prayed that God would show your pastor where Don Robertson was. Friday morning, a phone call comes to the church from Texas, from Don Robertson's son, who says, I need to speak with the pastor about my father. I got that message. Eric had forwarded me that message. I got on the phone. And I said, brother, I first of all, I'll tell you, this is an answer to prayer of our church. We prayed because we could not find your dad, had no clue where he was. His cell phone, when they take you by ambulance, they don't check for your cell phone charger or your cell phone. They're worried about you, not your social media. So he didn't have his cell phone and he didn't have his charger with him. So you even call his cell phone, you get nothing. God answered our prayer. And I said to his son, I said, we prayed that God would show us where your dad was. And he said to me, he says, well, the Lord laid upon my heart to call you this morning. Well, what does Jesus say? Ask and it shall be given unto you. We believed God. I believed God and I trusted God. And I said, Lord, you've got to show me where this man is. And guess what? God done it. Right? Because he is able to do that. God is able to take the prayer of faith and move the heart of a man in Texas to call a church to show us where this man is in the hospital. And by the way, he's doing okay. I don't want to go into all the details, but just keep praying for him. But that's what God is able to do. And so he asked these men, believe ye that I am able? And they said, yea, Lord. They came to the Lord because they believed he was able. They came because they believed by faith that he was the Messiah. They came because they believed in his power. Look at verse 28. When he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him. You know, they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have faith, when your faith is strong, man, you'll keep going by faith. You'll keep walking by faith. Jesus went into the house, and guess what they did? They didn't stop outside and wait outside. They went into the house. Imagine that. They went into the house. And Jesus said, believe ye that I'm able. But now here's where it gets sticky. Because he not only said, believe ye that I'm able, but he said specifically, believe ye that I am able to do this. Here's where it gets personal. Believe ye that I am able to do this. You see, they had heard about what Jesus Christ had done in the lives of others. They had heard how he had raised a girl up. They had probably heard how he made a lame man to walk. They had heard about the other miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. But theirs was very specific, as is your life, as is my life. They were blind. They weren't lying on a bed. Wasn't that they couldn't walk. Theirs was very specific. They could not see. Your need, my life, your life is very specific, is it not? Your needs are very different than my needs. My needs are very different from your needs. And Jesus said, believe you that I'm able to do this. In other words, not only do you believe me, not only do you believe in my power, But do you believe I am able to work in your life, in your circumstances, regarding your concern? See, that's where it gets. And they said, yea, Lord. They said, yea, Lord. And, okay, point number three. How do I strengthen my life so that I live by my faith in my life? Well, number one, you read the word of the Lord. Number two, you remember the works of the Lord. But number three, you relate the witness of the Lord to your life. You relate the testimony, Lord. And it's not rocket science. It's simple. You know, we teach in school, and I think we still teach this in the week classes. 1 + 1 = 2. Okay? This plus this is this. And so I might be the simple man on this side of the planet, but I'd say this. If I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and I read and I believe the power of the Lord, very simply, I say, you know what? He is the Lord. And if he can do this, 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 and you go on for hours, then you know what? He can do this too, can he? Right? Oh, yeah, he can. That's what they believed. That's what we have to believe. Remember, it goes to, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let me just give you one more example. Go down to Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36. So as I was studying, I was reading this and I came to this. And I'm reading and, Lord, you said ask so I can ask and you will answer, you will give. You've said over and over again, call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. Whatsoever you ask in faith, believing, ye shall receive. Well, here's one. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And this is what the Lord tells his disciples to do. This is what the Lord tells us to do. And this is where we need to believe God and do it. He says, pray. Pray. Is that not what the next word is in verse number 38? Pray. I mean, I did read that, right? Pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. How much do we do that? How much do we really pray that God would send forth laborers into his harvest? Jesus said, pray, pray. We schedule, we program, we, he said, pray. That's what he said. You know what I say? If he said it, I'm believing it, I'm doing it. So early in the week, I said, Lord, you said, pray that you would send forth laborers into your harvest. So Lord, I'm praying. I'm praying and asking you to send forth laborers into your harvest. Guess what God did? Send forth laborers into his harvest. First of all, he Ray Hoover asked me if he could power wash the church up in Willimantic. So I said, well, I'll bring you up the power washer and you can power wash the church. And so I went up there and that morning alone, we counted over 25 people that we got to witness to. I mean, just people. I mean, people just started stopping by. Hey, you know, praise the Lord. I was so thankful. What an encouragement it was, too, by the way. A man's walking down the street, and I said to him, I said, I want to give you my business card. And I gave him a track. This is a good line. I said, I want to give you my business card. And I gave him a small gospel track. He looks at it, I says, yeah, that's my business. That's the most important business, is telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, oh, well, that's your business card, isn't it? Anyways, all right, you'll catch that in 3 weeks or so. But So I said to him, I said, you know, the most important thing is your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I said, do you know Jesus Christ, your Savior? He says, yes. And I says, really? I says, you're saved? And he says, yes. I says, can you tell me about your salvation? He says, oh, yeah. I says, really? I says, tell me about it. He says, I got saved in 1957 in Mississippi. He told me the town and everything. I can't remember. He says, I got saved in 1957 in Mississippi. I am saved. I says, wow. I says, you know, I shook his hand. And I said, brother, I says, you know what an encouragement it is to just be able to stop someone and they can immediately give the testimony of their salvation? I said, what an encouragement that is. And so the Lord sent us into the harvest, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. I said, Lord, send laborers into the harvest. And there was a number, after I prayed that this week, there was a number of people here from Lakes Palm Baptist Church that texted me. Now, I didn't ask you to text me. I didn't ask you last week to tell me what was going on. But there was a number of you people that texted me about specific opportunities of witnessing to people. You know what that was, folks? That was the Lord showing me that He had heard my prayer and answered my prayer and was sending you into the harvest field. And I didn't have to promote soul winning. I prayed and said, Lord, send laborers. And you folks responded and said, oh, I witnessed to this one and I witnessed to this one and God gave me this opportunity. And that was the Lord. And the Lord is able. The Lord is able. Believe that I'm able to do this. And God wants us to take our faith in Him, to read the word of the Lord, so that our faith is strengthened, to remember the work of the Lord so that we know He's able, and to relate the witness and the testimony of the Lord in what He has done. And we could just go through so many other testimonies of what the Lord has done and relate it to our life so that we know that in this specific area of my life, this situation, this circumstance, maybe it's my personal life, maybe it's work, maybe it's family, maybe it's finances, that I can believe God. And I can live by faith. And that I can walk by faith. And I can rejoice in faith. And I can be comforted in faith and strengthened in faith. And I can know that my God is able. Because He is able. And you know, here's by way of conclusion. Believe ye that I am able to do this? Number one, read the word of the Lord. Number two, remember the works of the Lord. And number three, relate the testimony, the witness of the Lord to your circumstances, your life. But then I like in verse number 28. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. And I could start a whole nother message on this. But you know, Jesus had healed that girl, went on his way, came to a house, whoever's house it was, he went into the house, and he left the door open. Think about that. They came into the house to see Jesus. He left the door open. And that just assures me that the door to the house of God's grace and mercy and power is open by faith. It's still open, folks. It's still open. God has not shut the door to faith. It's still open. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to walk by faith. He wants us to come by faith. Did not He say, come boldly under the throne of grace that you would find mercy and grace to help in time of need? Did not He still give us all these promises? Sure He did. And He says, the just shall live by his faith. So ask God, increase your faith. Get in the Word of God and read it. Remember what God is able to do and relate it to your life. You know, God looks at every one of us and He just wants us to trust Him. You know, the disciples said, when the Lord said they had little faith, they said, Lord, increase our faith. To another man, the Lord Jesus Christ came and he said to this man, "Do you believe?" And he says, "Yea, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Not only does he want our faith to strengthen, be strengthened, but he wants us to come to him and ask him to strengthen our faith through the Word of God and strengthen it by his Spirit, because he wants to bless our lives by honoring our faith in him, because that's when he receives all the glory. Let's pray.